Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 716. Right now, as we do each and every week, of course, you know, as soon as the clock turns past 9 o'clock and we embark on hour number two, it's time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, the aforementioned Champ Course at PGA National Resort and Spa. Take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, we'll start things off with kind of a sad story. Of course, Seve Ballesteros is fighting a brain tumor. And just a couple of days ago, Dateline Madrid, Spain, Seve Ballesteros developed a complication following brain tumor surgery on Tuesday. And he required doctors to remove a piece of the golfer's skull to relieve pressure on the brain. He had some pressure on the brain following the brain surgery. 51-year-old Seve, of course, of Spanish descent, is currently in stable but still in intensive care. So he's currently stable, but he is still in intensive care. A sizable part of the tumor was taken out of his brain this past Tuesday. They are still have yet to announce whether the tumor is malignant or hopefully benign. Ballesteros, of course, won 3 British Opens and 2 Masters, 5 career majors. He holds the record on the European Tour, 50 career European Tour victories. That's the most ever on the European Tour. Also had a stellar Ryder Cup record, 8-time Ryder Cup player. 4 times as a player did the Euros win in the Ryder Cup. So 8 times a player, 4 times a winner as a player. He also captained a victorious European team in 1997 at Valderrama. Pat, question simply is, where does Seve rank in the all-time echelon of European golfers?
Well, I think he's in the top, I'm going to say he's in the top 20 of all-time golfers. You know, he's won 5 majors, 50 times worldwide winner. And just, like I said, the personality that he exudes, you know, I always go back to Russ. Do you kind of realize how difficult it is to be a golfer in Spain, you know, growing up as he did? You know, Spain is not now, it's getting more golf courses now, but back, you know, when Seve was growing up, you know, he probably had to be out in a cow pasture somewhere. It's the same thing with Bernhard Langer in Germany. Again, not a bastion of golf. So to get to a certain level of excellence in countries like that where golf was not super big shows you the talent that these guys have and the ability to overcome obstacles in terms of access to golf courses and instruction and things like that when they were younger. Seve never had a classic golf swing. That's why he was so good with the short game, because he was always missing greens and missing fairways. He had to get himself out of trouble a lot, and that's sort of what he became known for is the ability to get him up and down from anywhere. But I certainly think, not just on the European Tour, but I think in terms of just stature in the golf community, he's in the top 25, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And take away the Ryder Cup and all that other stuff. As strictly as a golfer and doing what he did, especially at a young age, certainly I think in the top 25 all time of golfers.
You know, the great thing about Seve, Pat, was he was almost the Phil Mickelson before Phil Mickelson. You know, the swashbuckling, taking chances, getting himself in trouble and then playing unbelievably incredible shots to get himself back into not only range to save par, but I mean, he made birdies from ridiculous spots. He could, you know, at the British Open, I remember one of the British Opens, you know, when I was very young, way back in the early 80s, he was like right up against the edge of like Hell Bunker, which has a steep wall of like 5 feet. You almost, you know, can't see the guy when he's in there trying to play the shot. And not only does he get out, he got out on the green, like, which was 150 yards away. He hit like a wedge or a 9-iron and got onto the green. I mean, ridiculous, incredible shots to get out of trouble. I mean, he's fiery. We always remember him having that fiery temper. You know, I remember the argument against Paul Azinger back in one of the Ryder Cups where he accused Azinger and Azinger's teammate of using 2 different type compression balls, 100 compression and a 90 compression, and Azinger denied it. And Paul Azinger said, "We're not trying to cheat." And Seve very flippantly said, "Oh, of course not. Cheating and breaking the rules are 2 totally different things." But you know, Seve was incredible. His skill, I mean, talk about, you know, just raw talent. He probably was one of the most talented golfers of all time. He won the European Order of Merit in 1976 as a 19-year-old, and he was the youngest player ever to win the Masters until Tiger Woods came along in 97 and broke his record. And that's the other thing I'll forever remember about Seve, was that he was such a great player so early on. At the age of 19 and 20, he was one of the best in the world, and that was amazing to me. And it's kind of sad because, you know, his career kind of tailed off there after the age of 40, you know, really had that 20-year period between the age of like 19 and 39. That's really when he did all his damage. But I said before in the show, in my opinion, of the last 30 years in European golf, there's a big three: Nick Faldo, Seve Ballesteros, and Bernhard Langer. Obviously, if you go back before that, the Tommy Armers of the world, the Tony Jacklins, and if you want to go back way far, you know, past the turn of the century, you've got old Tom Morris and young Tom Morris. But of the last 30 years, Seve Ballesteros, Nick Faldo, and Bernhard Langer, those are it when it comes to European golf, and he's right there. Those three, it's hard to separate them. If you want to go numbers-wise, I mean, obviously Nick Faldo is tops with six majors, three Masters and three British Opens, but, you know, Seve's right there with five majors. He to me, along with Bernhard and Nick Faldo, are the embodiment of European golf for the last 30 years. And then you think, you know, remember when Jack Nicklaus, suggested that in the 70s, that the Ryder Cup should become the USA versus Europe, not just the USA versus Great Britain and Ireland. I think Seve was a big part of that because he was from Spain, and the Europeans knew that if they could get him on the team, you know, they'd have more success, and they did.
Sure. I mean, absolutely right. And we're sort of talking about him like he's dead, but he's not. But at the same time, I think it's proper to reflect a little bit, not just as Seve, but as a lot of these guys, as you mentioned, Langer and Faldo are getting older and really sort of falling out of the consciousness of a lot of the younger golfers now, just to let them know how good these guys really were and how much of trailblazers they were, considering, with the exception of Faldo, Langer and Seve not coming from golf hotbeds in the countries that they were in, per se, and to be able to rise above that and become, you know, world stage players and champions, major champions, is a testament really to their talent and their ability to persevere.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here, discuss a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, the Honda Classic, and the Rooney's Golf Foundation.
Yes, don't forget that one.
7th Annual Golf Tournament. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two going to you. Speaking of European, great European golfers, I think we got to put this guy in that category now. Padraig Harrington was just recently named the PGA Player of the Year based on their point system. It's not on the PGA Tour vote. That comes next month. But based on the point system, he outdistanced Tiger Woods to get the PGA Player of the Year. Are we going to see that same result when they actually vote on this next month?
Yes, absolutely. I think we will. Of course, as you mentioned, the PGA of America always gives out their Player of the Year a month before the PGA Tour announces their award. And exactly like you said, PGA of America's award is a hard and fast system based on points. And Padraig accumulated 116 points over the year, primarily through his win at the British and the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods was a distant second with 78 points. Vijay Singh came in third with 62 points. So I think we're going to see the same outcome. The PGA Tour players will vote on the PGA Tour's award, but I think they will vote primarily for Padraig just because it's hard to give Tiger Woods the Player of the Year award when he only played in six events, even though he had a phenomenal run there for about 5 months in his six events. Four wins, including a major and a WGC, along with the 1 second at the Masters, 2 strokes behind Trevor Immelman, and a fifth, 3 strokes behind Jeff Ogilvie at the CA Championship. So in six tournaments, he had 4 wins, a second, and a fifth. It was an unbelievable year for Tiger Woods, but it's just too small of a sample size. Padraig Harrington had just as good of a year, and even better when you consider he won 2 majors to Tiger's 1, and it was over a longer period of time. I have no doubt Padraig Harrington will be voted the PGA Tour Player of the Year as well.
I wonder how many times the PGA Tour Player of the Year and the PGA of America Player of the Year have differed.
Only once.
And that is?
Only
once. It would have been a good trivia.
You know, I can't remember what it was, actually. I believe it was, one of the guys was Nick Price. It was back in the 90s. Nick Price won one of the awards, and somebody else won the other. But besides that year, the PGA Player of the Year and the PGA Tour Player of the Year have been the same each and every year.
I'm going to agree with you on this, Russ, but it's a lot closer, I think, than both of us think. And here's why. Harrington, again, I'm not taking anything away. He won both those majors without Tiger in there. And you can't – I don't think in this situation you can disqualify his effect in those tournaments. You know, he's won both of them multiple times, and you just don't know how Harrington would have reacted if Tiger was in those fields, especially if he was breathing down his neck at all. I know Harrington's beaten Tiger in a past British Open, but at the same time, you can't discount that Tiger factor. If Immelman, who won the Masters, would have won one of the other two, I would have no problem saying he is definitely going to be the Player of the Year. The other thing is that absolutely the Tournament of the Year was the U.S. Open, and I don't think anybody can discount that. And maybe that trumps, to some extent, the other two majors because it's of how good it was. And you mentioned the other tournaments that Tiger was in, how he won four of them and came in second and fifth in the other two. Harrington really kind of dissipated at the end of the year.
Fizzled.
And his Ryder Cup performance was dismal, and he didn't even make the Tour Championship, which Tiger would never do that. Tiger figures out a way to at least get into the thing for the FedEx Cup. So I think it's a lot closer when it gets to the peers and those guys are in there voting. Harrington's a nice guy, and I think that might actually carry some weight with this thing. If he's a real jerk, I think guys would figure out a way to vote against him. But I think this ends up being a closer vote than you think, Russ. I think Tiger just barely loses to Padraig on this one, but it's close.
And I want to just mention, if our friends at the PGA of America are listening, because I do want to get it right, and I don't have my notes in front of me of what exactly
I like stumping you, Russ. I know you're very well prepared.
Well, here's the thing. I remember the other player. It was Freddie Couples. It was in the early 90s, and Nick Price, the year he won one of his PGA championships, he was named the PGA of America Player of the Year. That same year, Freddie Couples won the PGA Tour's Player of the Year award and the player vote. So that was the only year in the last 20. And one of the awards, I think it's the PGA Tour's Player of the Year award, has only been around for about 20 years. I believe 1987, maybe, or 88 was the first year. If our friends at the PGA of America, Kelly Elbin and Michael Abramowitz and Joe Steranko, if any of them are listening right now, would definitely ask if you could call in and help us with this, because Pat has stumped me. The exact year that the only year since the PGA Tour Player of the Year award was developed about 20 years ago, because the PGA of America's award's been going on since, I believe, the 40s. And there's only been one year since the PGA Tours Award came about that a different player won the two awards. And it was in the early 90s. Can't remember the exact year. Nick Price and Freddie Couples were the two players in question. Russ Evans. And the number, by the way, is 888-760-3776. If Kelly or Michael or Joe are listening, 888-760-3776. Please call in. Set us straight. Set the record straight exactly what year that was. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicklaus, Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And topic number three, Pat, is another unfortunate story. ADT, the security company and services company, is pulling out as sponsor of the ADT Championship, which, of course, is coming up just a month from now at Trump International Golf Club. 2008 will be the final year that the ADT Championship is sponsoring. is sponsoring the ADT Championship. The LPGA Tour lost another title sponsor just Friday, just a couple of days ago, when ADT Security Services said it would not renew its contract after the 2008 Tour season-ending event at Trump International. The company did not specifically say why it was not renewing its contract, only that its strategy in investing in growth areas of its business more closely aligns with other avenues to use its advertising dollars. Pat, question to you is this the first sign that the season-ending event, which has been known since 2001 as the ADT Championship, that phenomenal format, 32 women whittled down to 16 after Friday's second round, whittled down to 8 after Saturday's third round, 8 women teeing it up Sunday morning for the $1 million first place prize. Is this the first sign that the final event of the year will be leaving South Florida?
Well, I think actually the first time, Russ, was when they were talking about moving this thing to January or whatever. a couple months ago, and that kind of showed you that they weren't happy either with the TV ratings or the just general media exposure or whatever that they were getting. And now ADT obviously having some kind of financial difficulties in terms of sponsoring this thing, you know, feeling like they're not getting their bang out of their buck, so they're going to pull out of it. But the question, yeah, I think, you know, that, hey, it, when you're dealing with, like I said, you're dealing with the LPGA Champions Tour or the Nationwide, not the Nike, you know, those are all, they're kind of those types of events that if you're really flush as a corporation and you want to get your name out there, you know, those are the types of things that you might have an easier time breaking into than a PGA Tour event. So you're going to throw some sponsorship dollars at them. But, this seems like a natural for Trump to actually, if he's got the cash, to actually pick up the sponsorship because it's on his course. It's in his, basically his second hometown of West Palm Beach. And I think he's enjoyed the exposure that it's gotten him. And, you know, maybe this is something that he would think about picking up the sponsorship for if he felt so inclined. I think they can find a sponsor for it, but I don't know if his date is going to be set in stone as we go into the future.
Pat, I really don't think the LPGA is going to have a big problem finding another sponsor for this tournament. I think the tournament is so appealing when you because it's not a huge field. It's only 32 ladies, but it's the best. It's the cream of the crop. In years past, you've had Natalie Gulbis there, Calendar Girl. It's not looking like she'll be there this year, but all the big names, Morgan Pressel, Suzanne Pedersen, Annika Sorenstam, Lorena Ochoa, Christy Kerr. You know, a sponsor's dream is to have all the big names on
fighting
Sunday,
for the money exactly, at the end, and they usually are.
And you get that when you have a smaller, you know, field with all the best players, you've got a better chance of getting that. So I really am very confident that the LPGA will find another sponsor, and I'm very skeptical that that sponsor would request that they move the tournament to some other venue in some other locale. I mean, how can you get any better than Trump International in West Palm Beach?
No, I agree with you. And well, it remains to be seen, but it's a shame right now that at least the thing's in limbo. And maybe we can get Duffy House or somebody on if they once they get some indication that somebody else might be interested in this and find out who that is and when they're going to take it over.
Another award-winning edition, Pat, of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to us by our good friends at the PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself in a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, the Honda Classic, and the Rooney's Pub Golf Foundation 7th Annual Golf Tournament coming up a couple weeks from now, Thursday, October 30th at PGA. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, real quickly, great job by Brian researching this on the internet. I was kind of right, but I have to admit I was wrong. PGA Player of the Year Award, the PGA Tour's Player of the Year Award, and the PGA of America Player of the Year Award. It's been different players twice. Ooh. Actually, twice has there been a different player that has won the PGA Tour's award to the PGA of America's award in the same year. First of all, in 1990. In 1990, Nick Faldo won the PGA Tour player of, or excuse me, let me get this right. I don't want to mess it up. All right. Nick Faldo in 1990 won the PGA of America player of the year. That same year, 1990, Wayne Levy won the PGA Tour player of the year. And then the very next year in 1991, Corey Pavin won the PGA of America's Player of the Year, and Freddie Couples won the player vote in 1991 as the PGA Tour Player of the Year. So only twice has there been different players winning the two awards. 1990, Faldo won the PGA of America. Levy won the PGA Tour. 1991, Corey Pavin won the PGA of America's award. Freddie Couples won the PGA Tour's award. So only twice. Nick Price, by the way, I mentioned his name. He was not involved in these 2 years. Nick Price won both awards, PGA and PGA Tour's award, both in 1993 and 94 when he was the number one player in the world.